Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello.
Should my
I will, Aman.
Asha, Ayanam Ya, Al, Aharyam, Ma'aya, Yabawa'a, Izarya, Yabawa'a, Mayahawa, Sha'ashom, Shamayam, Waratza, La'a, Yemisan, Lamawat, Regalia, Yala'a, Nawam, Shashamorya, Hana, Yala'a, Nawam, Wala'a, Yashan, Shashawamar, Yasha'ala, Yahawa, Shamarya, Yahawa, Tuzalia, Isle, Yum Yum Ya, Hashemash, Yala'a, Hakaya, Ayawam, Wala'a, Halabina, Balayala, Yahawa, Yashamarya, Macau, Bri, Yashamar, Nepasha, Yahawa, Yashamar, Havalakya, Wabawa'aya, Ma'aitha, Wa'ai, Awalam, Amun.
All right. Hello. I'm sorry about that.
I'm going to try and go ahead and go with this out this class. And just see how it goes. Is that one of those weeks? Again, the last question that I was going to ask is 5%. You might be closer.
The last question we were on was the guest gets that to it. If it's 5%,
5%.
Verse 1. Set thy heart upon thy grip, and say not, I have enough for my life.
preaching the Sabbath day on Sunday. And I'm saying that it's actually on why it's sundown and Sabbath sundown. And we get to these places. But one thing I'm saying that it happens with myself a lot is why I think this notion that once I see the Spirit, it never will come back. So once I'm overcome with a challenge, overcome with a spiritual challenge, that's it, it's over with. I'm never going to deal with that thing again. And that is, again, not scripturally true. And this is where we have to become vigilant. This is where we have to become real watchful.
And in the things that we and our journey and our path to the Most High, because
if we're not careful, let me just tell my voice. If we're not careful, we'll get to a place where we start getting blessed by the Most High. We start getting blessed by the Most High because of our faith. Because we start hearing the words of the Most High. And we start doing them. We heard and we read, don't eat pork. So we started eating pork. We heard and we read. We heard and we read what Scripture said in the book of Sabbath about word infringements. But what happens is we get to a point where we stop applying more Scripture. We stop listening, we stop applying more Scripture. And this is what we want to correct ourselves. Right? And as we start our journey in the truth, we also start to get blessed because of our sacrifice. We start to get blessed because of our sacrifices in obeying the Most High's word. We start showing up. And as we get these blessings, we know the Most High blessing is the one who blessed us with these things. And I'm talking more to Israelites who know that the Israelites who have it known. That there's things you start to acquire because of your sacrifice and your dedication to the Most High. But what happens is those things can be challenged. What happens is those things can be
used to see where your heart is at.
So in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 1, it says, that a person gets so comfortable and almost complacent in that they sacrifice for the Most High, work for the Most High, and they start to acquire something. And they get to a point where they think they're good. They say, I started with nothing, and now I'm here. And I don't want nothing else. Right? In verse 2 it says,
and then in verse 2 it says, follow not thy own mind and thy strength to walk in the ways of thy heart. And again, this is a warning to us as Israelites as we come to the knowledge and we come to the truth. Not for those that are outside the truth, because they don't even know about Ecclesiastes chapter 5. They don't even know about the apocrypha. But this is about for us Israelites that are in the truth and know the truth. It says, follow not thy own mind and thy strength to walk in the ways of thy heart. Yeah, we get to a point where if we're not careful, we'll be tempted to not follow the scriptures. We'll be tempted to lean to our own understanding, you know, lean to our own minds, and not continue to use the scriptures in every decision and follow the scriptures. All right? Verse 3 says,
who shall control me for my works? For the Lord will surely revenge thy pride.
It says, for the Lord will surely revenge thy pride. That again, we get to a place where we figure we reach the place and we're good. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of struggling. And I'm good right where I'm at. And that's pride. And the Most say he's going to revenge them. Here they are.
Verse 4. Say not, I have sinned, and what harm has happened unto me?
Right. That a lot of times as we have people that are over us. It might be a parent, it might be a brother or a sister, and they're correcting us, they're reproving us, and they're telling us what to do and how to live our lives, give us counsel and advice, and we don't follow it. And if we're not careful, it'll get to a point where we'll say, I went against what you said, and what's happened? Ain't nothing happened to me. You told me that if I left the work, if I didn't do this, didn't do that, the Most High would curse me, the Most High was going to get me. And since I stopped doing things that way, I'm coming up. My life is getting a lot better, getting a lot easier, getting a lot smoother. So when you're telling me about not eating pork, or you're telling me about this, or you're telling me about that, or how to run my household, when I didn't apply what you said, nothing happened. No bad came to me. Most of it didn't kill me. Most of it didn't destroy me. So why should I be so fearful or worried or attentive or diligent to do what you said? If I was doing so wrong, by all accounts of what you're saying, then the Most High should have smashed me. He should have killed me. He should have took this. He should have took that. But he did. So what do you got to worry about? Verse 4 again.
Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4. Say not, I am sick, and what harm has happened unto me? For the Lord is long suffering. He will in no wise let me go.
The Most High said he's not going to let you go. Right? As we do our studies, and we've done this before, I invite anybody to go and check it out or do the research themselves. Nineveh was close to Assyria when you pull up a map. I mean, it's in Assyria, close to where Babylon is. And we know that Jonah was told to go and prophesy against Nineveh. Or we get the book of Jonah from. And Jonah said, no, he wasn't going to do it. Now, if you measure the distance from Nineveh to a seaport, let me pull up a map. I'm a little bit curious about this right now. And the reason I want to pull this up is, when we measure the distance from Nineveh to the sea, to the Mediterranean, I believe it is. Distance. Enlarging as my eyes are bad. Okay, it says Nineveh was an ancient Assyrian city of Upper Mesopotamia, located on the outskirts of Mosul in modern-day Iraq, and is located in the eastern bank of the Tigris River, and was the capital of the Neo-Assyrian Empire. So it was from basically Iraq and the Tigris River. Okay, let me see if I can look that up real quick.
Again, it says, so look at it. It was in modern-day Iraq. And let's just say, I'm looking from Baghdad to Jerusalem. The distance from Baghdad to Jerusalem. If anybody wants to tag along with me on this. All right, from Baghdad to Jerusalem is approximately 650 miles distance. That's by, and by car, that would be a 13-hour trip by car. Okay, 660 miles from Baghdad to Jerusalem. From Baghdad to Haifa. Well, the reason for even going there, I know it seems weird and long drawn out and boring. He calculated this from basically Baghdad to Jerusalem, again, 650 miles of distance. Again, you figure he was on his way to Tarshish. Maybe let's find that real quick. This is from Jerusalem to Tarshish. Okay, so Tarshish was an ancient city located in modern-day southern Spain. So, driving is 3,337 miles driving from Jerusalem to Spain. We had 600 miles from Baghdad to Jerusalem. We're talking almost 4,000 miles. How long would it took, would it have taken walking from Nineveh to Jerusalem? How long would that have taken to travel almost 700 miles? And then we get to the port, in the boat, and then travel by boat across the Mediterranean Sea. That one took some time. They didn't have jet aircraft back then. So it wasn't like it was a hop, skip, and a jump. They didn't have motorized vehicles with many horsepower. You travel by camel or you walk. The reason I bring this up is that from when Jonah was given the order, or the commandment, to go in and teach in Nineveh, prophesy to Nineveh. And he got away from Nineveh, got to a boat, and was on his way to Spain. How much time elapsed from when he was given the order to prophesy, and he decided he's not going to do that, and we're going to do his own thing? They had to have taken some time. There was not an immediate, as soon as he stepped foot outside of Nineveh, that's when the Most High had to welcome and swallow him up. He had to really travel from Nineveh to Jerusalem, to the seaport, in the boat, and then travel. And if he was, no matter how close to Spain he got, or the rocket he brought, but that's when the Most High decided to have the storm come and swallow him up. How much time would have elapsed? It wasn't a quick thing. It wasn't an overnight thing. All right? It took some time. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is that, like we're reading in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 4, it says, "Say not, I have sinned, and what harm has happened unto me? For the Lord is long-suffering, he will in no wise let thee go." How far away from Nineveh did Jonah get that he might have thought he got away from the Most High? Is the point I'm trying to bring up. You just traveled 700 miles from Nineveh or from Baghdad to basically Jerusalem. You know, traveled that, however long that took. And then found a boat, got into it, and it sailed across the Mediterranean, coast of Tarshish. That's when the whales swallowed you up. At the point you think you got away with it. At the point you think you're free. At the point you think that you're out-slicked and out-smarted the Most High. And saying, okay, I've done this negative, and ain't nothing bad happened. I've gone against orders. I've gone against the Most High. I've gone against scriptures. And what's happened? Ain't nothing bad happened. And one scripture we read yesterday was Ecclesiastes chapter 8. It was Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, which tells us that because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, it's fully set in the hearts of men for them to do evil. The Most High doesn't get you right immediately away. There's no lightning bolt. That comes out the sky and just strikes you down. That's not how the Most High works. So a lot of people have this impression that, like, if we take it to the worldly perspective, if you smoke cigarettes today, you went and lit up a cigarette right now, unless your health is just that bad, smoking a cigarette right now is not going to kill you. But smoking a cigarette over time, what's it going to do? The lung cancer, the throat cancer, the emphysema, all the tar that gets put in the lungs, it's going to kill you. And eventually, it's going to kill you. But the most times that can happen is the first time you take a drag of a cigarette, see, when that happened, most times it must not be that bad. And that's what happens to us. And what I'm really trying to get to attention to pain is a lot of times there's things that we've overcome. There's a lot of actions that we've overcome out of a fear of the Most High, out of counsel, somebody giving the scriptures, and we stop doing certain things. And we read in the scriptures. But what happens after a while is we get to a point where because of pressure, because of afflictions, because of suffering, we get to the point where we don't be as vigilant to make sure I'm not going to do that behavior. And with the right circumstance, the right opportunity, we'll be right back to doing that sin that we escaped from. We'll be right back to doing that negative that we get away from. Because what happens is we're saying that it's not really that bad. Aria, I don't know if you're listening. I've seen you called. And I'm not sure if you're trying to let me know that
my voice is not coming through. I'm not quite sure. All right, so continuing on, that the Most High doesn't get you right away to where you'll get comfortable being like, oh, cool, you know what? People were tripping when they told me I can't do this, I shouldn't be doing this, or that this was wrong. So, and then it happened to me, so let me go ahead and keep doing it. And that vigilance that a person has, it gets weakened. That diligence is diminished big time. And so doing, a person gets to this point where I have sinned, and what has happened to me? Ain't nothing happened to me. I thought the Most High was going to do this. I thought the Most High was going to do that. But yeah, matter of fact, I got blessed. That the cops were up behind me. And I knew I was riding dirty, but you know what? They still didn't stop me. So the Most High must still be with me. And we'll take on this mentality. And again, nevertheless, it says, for the Lord is long suffering and will in no wise let thee go. Nine verse 5, please. As far as appealing to the Most High for mercy, he says, don't be without fear to add sin unto sin. We can't keep sinning or keep doing the same acts. But why will a person keep continuing to do those same acts? Fall back to that old man. Where the scripture says, fall back to that dog returning to his vomit. With the right pressure, the right affliction, and the right amount of suffering, that will put a person in that mindset, I need escape. I need comfort. I need something to ease my mind. I need something for me. We'll get very selfish. In James chapter 4 and verse 3, it tells us that, can we get everyone? In James chapter 4, verse 3.
James chapter 4, verse 3. Ye ask and receive not.
Oh. I want to let you know that your spirit listens to envy. Verse 5.
James. Chapter 4 and 5. James chapter 4, verse 5. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusts us to envy?
Do we think that the Most High doesn't know that? Or do we realize that we have an envious spirit within us? Even as Israelites. Put this in more like modern day terms. When somebody believes the grass always green on the other side, meaning what? That somebody always got something better than you. Somebody's always getting got it easier, got it better, got it more comfortable than you. You can see it in little children. You can see it in toddlers. Be giving out some anything, a treat. Some fruit, some water, and if a child's been left out, they'll say, what about me? They're ready to go into conniption fits because they figure, I'm not being taken care of. You forgot about me. What about mine? What about me? I'm supposed to get one too. And even as children, we display the truth of this scripture. That within us, there's a spirit of envy, that someone is always getting over, getting better, got it easier than what I'm going through, than what I got it. And we'll give ourselves over to that, and that's how we'll justify going back to our old sin. That's how we'll justify going back to doing something to give me comfort. something to give me ease of mind, something to quench the lust to envy in me. That I gotta come up. I gotta get mine. Oh, you gonna forget about me? Oh, you're not gonna make sure I'm taken care of? You know what? I'll take care of it myself. I'll do it on my own. I got me. So a lot of times, because there's no studying, people don't realize they have a spirit of envy in them. That this selfishness, that what about mine? What about me? How come everybody gets it easy? Everybody gets it easier. Everybody, no one has to do as much as I do. Nobody's got to give as much as I give. I'm the only one anybody asks favors of. I'm the only one anybody asks to do this or do that, and nobody does anything for me. Nobody ever looks out for me, but all I do is look out for everybody else. Well, James chapter 4 response says what? Do you think that the scripture says in vain that the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? So the Most High's word is lying? So the Most High's word isn't a lie, it is a lie. You don't have the spirit of envy. You have the spirit of everybody gets over but you. Everybody cares and looks out for themselves, but you're the only one who gives. You're the only one that does anything. And that's why it's okay for you now to take care of you. That's why now it's okay for you to do you. Because since everybody else is doing it, I'm going to do me also. Don't you realize that that's the spirit of envy that got you doing that? Turn to verse 4.
James chapter 4:4. Verse 4. Ye adulterers, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God?
And the word enmity means to be at war with God. You become God's enemy. And when is it that you become a friend of the world? When you stop listening to the words of the Most High. And now you're going back to your old ways, your familiar ways. You're going back now to what's going to give you escape. Some people call it your vice. You go back to your habit. You go back to that thing that gives you comfort. You go back to that thing that gives you ease of mind. Whatever it might be. And that you're becoming friendly with that thing again. The same thing that the Most High was trying to pull you away from and bringing you into the truth, bringing you into the knowledge, bringing you into the scriptures to for you to avoid that, to resist that, to leave that alone. But because of pressure, because of suffering, because of affliction, because of walking the same steps Christ walked, and because I have a spirit of envy in me, why am I having to go through what I'm going through? Why is it only hard for me? Why am I the only one that ever has to do this or ever has to do that? No one else has to do these things. So now, again, the spirit of envy is consuming you, but you don't even see it because you stop being vigilant. And now somebody can even give you scriptures, and you're not even trying to hear the scriptures. You're not even trying to adjust your mind with the scriptures. Because these are the signs and the markers that let you know that you really are becoming going back to the friendship of the world. These are those markers, these are signs to where a person will now start willfully sinning. I'm willfully going against what the scripture said. I'm willfully going to do me because I need comfort. I need ease. And I need to do something for me because ain't nobody else going to do nothing for you. Ain't nobody else trying to help me. No one else considers. No one else cares what I'm going through. So let me go ahead and do for me. Let me make sure that, let me get mine. In whatever comfort or vice that might be. For some, it might be alcohol. For others, it might be video games. For others, it might be porn. Others, it might be straight up just drugs. For others, it might be food. For others, it might be whatever your vice might be. Whatever that thing is that got a hold of you, that you fought off, that you resisted, but because of the right amount of pressure, the right amount of affliction, this don't seem so bad. because I've got a lot going on in my life. And because I have so much going on in my life, to stay vigilant, to stay sober, to stay disciplined, to continue to have that fear for the Most High, that gets chipped at. That gets worn out. To where a person finds themselves asking, why am I being diligent? Why am I doing it? What about me? What about mine? What about what I'm going through? And the person lets those type of words fester in their mind. And they're not sanctifying their mind. They're not cleaning their mind. They're just going with their feelings, going with their thoughts, going with their sight about what they see. And again, in doing so, the scripture tells that we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight. Well, it looks to me like I'm just getting messed over again. Well, it looks to me like I'm the only one going through what I got to go through. It looks to me like everybody else is being taken care of but me. How is that not, just by using those very words, how is that not, where are you using, let me say this right, properly. In saying those phrases, please explain how you're walking by faith and not by sight. Please explain how you're walking more by sight because of what you see and how you put it together in your head as opposed to what the scripture says. Scripture says, the Most High is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you show towards his name and that you minister to the saints and keep ministering. That's what the scripture says. Scripture says, the Most High sent forth us, the apostles, last, as it were, appointed to death. Scripture says, the first shall be last, and last shall be first. And that the Most High sent the apostles last. So, instead of having those scriptures in the mind to combat those thoughts, those feelings and emotions, the spirit of lust is starting to consume. The spirit of lust is starting to overwhelm. The spirit of envy is getting played, getting tight, getting watered. And now, because I'm the victim, and I'm going through what I'm going through, and I'm feeling what I'm feeling, now, if I go ahead and do this act, or do this thing, or do whatever it is, I feel justified in it because of my circumstances, because of what I'm going through, because of what I feel. And what we don't realize, because coming into the truth, we got the knowledge of James 4 and 4. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? So if you're a friend of the world, you're God's enemy. So go to church on Sunday, you're God's enemy. Especially this modern day world, be transgender, gender fluid. That's being a friend of the world, but I'm not any of those things. To go to Lobster Festival or whatever, that's being a friend of the world. No, remember, and I'm speaking to Israelites that know the Israelites. When we go through the John 3:16 breakout, and either understanding, how many different worlds are there in the definition for the word world? Remember, there's over 14 different definitions for the word world. We have the whole entire world, and yet scripturally, we have the world of Israel, Isaiah 45 and 17. But remember also, you have your own individual world. Like the movie that came out decades ago called Wayne's World. That this, what was Wayne's world? Just like what you would imagine. It's the world of Wayne. Dealing with his world, his parents, his friends, his hobbies, his work. It's his world. It's how he grew up, what he's used to. It's a world that you might create for yourself. But in James chapter 4, verse 4, it still states what? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? And you find that you're becoming a friend of the world again, of your world, Give me Psalms chapter 1, verse 1.
Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Who do you start counseling with and talking with and surround yourself with? People from your old world. And you start listening to them say, you shouldn't put yourself through that again. You shouldn't be going through that. It's messed up. They tell you what you want to hear. As you're talking to counsel with them, not about what the Most High thinks, not about what the Most High says, but when you find yourself using phrases like this, wouldn't anybody feel this way? If anybody was in my shoes, wouldn't they feel the exact same way? When you find yourself starting to use those type of phrases and that type of logic, where are you cutting that logic with this scripture right here? As you look for somebody to co-sign your feelings, to help you justify it's okay what you're doing, going back to whatever your vice is. Remember, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21 tells us what? Though hand join a hand, the wicked should not go unpunished. You can get the Teamsters. You can get all of America to agree with you that, no, it's wrong for you to be going through that. No, you shouldn't go through that. You can get a lot of people to join with you, but the wicked is still going to be what? Can we get that real quick? You got it? No, we'll keep Psalms. Just real quick, let's get out of Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21.
Proverbs chapter 11, verse 21. Though hand joined in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished.
You can join hand with all the ungodly you want to. Remember, there were five cities during the time of Adam and Lot. What did Moses do to those five cities? He destroyed them. I mean, we take it back to Noah. He killed everybody but eight people. Not Adam, in Abraham's time. If I said Adam, I was wrong. If I said Adam, I meant Abraham and Lot. The city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there was five cities all together. Forgive me. So hand joining hands, the wicked should not be punished. Right now, there's a movement across America in the legalizing of marijuana, and everybody's got their own strand and their own seeds that they're coming out with, celebrities and everybody, CBD oil and everything. You need to have everybody in America high. The wicked are still going to be punished. The wicked that are going against the Most High's word have forgotten the Most High's word. Are still going to get punished. So you can gather together. Let's go back to Psalms now. You can gather together whoever you want to, whoever is ungodly, all you want to. You're not going to hide from the Most High. Let's read.
Verse.
Back to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. We're going back to Psalms chapter 1, verse 1.
Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth.
So it says, Bless the man that does what?
Psalms chapter 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Blessed is that man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You're going to talk to people that ain't got no scriptures. You're going to talk to people who ain't got no understanding about the Most High's will, and you're going by that to justify why you can sin willfully. So it says, bless the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Go ahead.
Nor stand in the way of the sinner.
And you're standing in the way. You're standing, by the way, you're standing with sinners. You found somebody else to sign up and co-sign your logic. Yeah, I know it's a Sabbath, but okay, I didn't go to class, but go here, go there. I'm just chilling. I don't see nothing wrong with it. And the people I'm with don't see nothing wrong with it. Or actually, I'm going with people here to the club, and they're drinking and getting all messed up and drunk, but I'm just having a drink or two. I'm just chilling. I just have to be driving with them. You're standing with sinners. Reading on.
Nor sitteth in the seat of a scornful.
Nor sitteth in the seat of a scornful. What's a scorner? Somebody who rejects the knowledge. I reject the Most High's knowledge. Somebody can be telling me scriptures, but I reject it. But why would a person reject the scriptures? Why would a person reject? Now, I'm not talking about people in the world. I'm talking about Israelites. Why would Israelites reject scriptures? Because they're caught in the spirit of envy. And why are they envious? Because they figure they're being shortchanged. They're being asked to go above and beyond a reasonable sense of duty. And now I need some comfort. I need some ease. So doing, now we start to willfully sin. All right. Where are you at? I'm sorry. Keep reading. In Psalms.
Verse 2. Psalms chapter 1, verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
It says the man is going to be blessed. His delight, what he treasures, is what?
In the law of the Lord.
It's in the law. Let me continue to do things the Most High's way. I delight in that. Just like for many people, when they first came to the truth, if you didn't realize that eating pork was wrong, and that you had to come back and adjust to keeping the laws of the Most High, as you were tempted and people came against you, people rose up against you, you felt victorious when you fought the battle, when you fought to overcome that craving. You felt delight and a joy that you was able to stand for the Most High in Christ. That feeling, you can't let that go when you're starting to go through your suffering, your trials, and your tribulations. You're starting to be baptized by that fire that Christ promised was going to happen to us. Let's not get to a point where we curse the Most High to die. Reading on. And in the law of the Most High, does this man meditate day and night? To where he's not following his own mind, his own strength, his own understanding, based on envy, pressure, things I'm going through. I need some comfort. What about me? Where's mine? He's meditating day and night in the law of the Most High, in the words of the Most High, and how the Most High wants things done. Reading on.
Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Whatever goal he has set in the Most High, those goals are going to prosper. Whatever goal he has set, and when he do things the Most High's way, those goals are going to prosper. They're going to work. But this man is meant, and be, like a tree planted by the river of water. Why is this reference a tree being planted by the river of water? Does a winter storm only come once? Does a summer storm only come one time? Or do storms come at different times throughout the whole year? But that tree that's planted by a river of water, how resilient is that tree going to be in the face of storms? It's deeply rooted, so it ain't going nowhere. You might blow all the leaves off. You might break a few branches. But because that tree's got deep roots, what's going to happen? It's going to straighten right back up and grow leaves all over again. Because it's rooted. As many times as storms, thunderstorms, rainstorms keep attacking that tree's going to stand firm. That tree's going to be firm. And not because now this thing happens, that thing happens, now this tree's just blown over. Because it had no depth. It wasn't rooted. So now a person is willfully sinning. Okay? And that unclean spirit comes back. So let me go ahead and cover that. A little bit of time we do have remaining. Let's go to Luke chapter 4, verse 13. Luke chapter 4 and verse 13. And what does it say? Before we go there, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Actually, we need to get two scriptures at the same time. I need to Luke chapter 4, and I need to Matthew chapter 4. Let's start at verse 10.
Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Then say, Yahweh signs to him, get thee and take it, for he is great. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
We don't know the temptations of Christ. Yeah, after he came to serve the Most High, he was tempted heavy. And each time the devil came at him, we see that the Most High, that Christ used scriptures. Even when the devil tried to use the scripture against him, we see where Christ used the scripture. And not giving into his own thoughts, feelings, the envy. I didn't do nothing wrong as Christ, so why should I go through this? Why should I have to suffer and go through all this? So again, in verse 11, it says what? This is the thing I want to highlight and bring out.
Matthew 4, verse 11. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him.
So because Christ was able to withstand and overcome those temptations, what did the angels come and do?
Ministered unto him.
And the angels came and served Christ. Blessed him for his diligence. Blessed him for his integrity. Blessed him for his stamina. Blessed him for using the scriptures to fight the battle like he was supposed to. But that blessing only came when? After he had battled those temptations.
there was a reward. But now let's go to Luke chapter 4. Verse 13.
Luke chapter 4, verse 13. And when the devil had finished all the temptation, he departed from it for a season.
All right, cool. I was going over this yesterday. It says, I quoted it, but we didn't pull it, but I'm pulling it now. Again, where are we at?
Luke chapter 4, verse 13. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from it for a season.
When the devil had ended all that temptation, how long did he depart?
A season.
What does that mean for a season? Right. I'm just getting some text. Just checking them out. All right, cool. I'm sorry. So it said, and leaving for a season, meaning what? That the devil came back. The temptations came back. And a lot of times it's like we get this notion that I fought something once, overcame, and that's it. And then these same type of temptations and notions come back, but they come back out real subtle. They come back real serpentine, because it'd be a lot of pressure. It'd be a lot of abstinence. Discipline has been shown, but the person starts getting worn down. The person starts getting weak, and now starts justifying. Why withholding myself ain't really that bad. Look what everyone else is doing. There's people in the world doing a lot more wicked than I am, so sure the Most High is not going to hold this against me. We got to be careful. Let's get let's get 1 Corinthians 3:13.
Let's read in chapter 3 and verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest. So the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is.
And this is what a lot of Israelites really don't get, forget. Every man's work shall be made manifest. You're going to be made manifest. You're going to be shown for what you're really about. But when is it the Most High is going to test to see what you're really about? It says the day's going to declare it, because it's going to be revealed by fire. The fire you're going to be going through, the pressure, the temptations, the hardness. What decision and choice do we make when it's hard? When I'm feeling like I really want to do this, I have a craving for it. Didn't Christ even have a day of fire with Satan at 40 days, 40 nights fasting? That could damn near make a man delusional. So when it was that hard, that desperate, that much despair, that's when Satan came. That's when Christ was strong. He didn't come to him the first day to fast, the second day to fast. When did the devil come to Christ? 40 days and 40 nights. So how weak would Christ have been to just give in to his feelings? How convenient would it have been to give into his those thoughts of, man, just get some a little something to eat, just a little bit. That would have been real convenient. But again, Satan didn't come to him when he was strong and vigilant. The first hour, second hour, third hour, first day, first week. 40 days, that's what? A month and a half? A month and 10 days? 5 weeks? He came at the end of the 5 weeks. That you haven't ate or drank anything in all that time when you're in a weakened mental state to want to give into your emotions, give into your thoughts, give into your feelings. Not when you're strong and you're looking and you're ready, but when you're weak, you're tired. You're not mentally engaged. That's when Satan comes. That's when the temptations come. And that's when it will seem real convenient to give in to your flesh, give in to whatever your vice is. Give in to whatever your vomit is. We make it that much more easier. Again, because we forget that what? Unclean spirits return. So, that's...
1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest when the day shall declare, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's of what sort it is.
You see what it is. But this can be a daily thing, but it can take after a period of time. You've been in the battle. You've been struggling for a minute, and now you're feeling weak. Come on. If we look at Christ on the cross, when we do the timeline of the Last Supper, it was Christ actually gave up the ghost. Remember, they've been up all day, the day of the Last Supper. They was up all day. He was teaching, getting things ready, whatever. Then they came into the feast. Then being in the feast, they've been up that whole time, praying, drinking, singing hymns. But he had that worry and that stress on his mind. Then when they walked up to the Garden of Gethsemane, which is in the Mount of Olives, which is a hike, and he went to go pray. Remember, it gotten so late. What happened with the disciples? Peter, James, and Peter, all the disciples. They fell asleep. So, to where he came and chastised them. But finally, he said, "Man, y'all tired. I gotta go through this by myself." And then when we go do the time again in chronology, it was he was actually on the cross the sixth hour. But that whole time he'd been tortured, going back and forth between Herod and first he got beaten down by Caiaphas and the high priest, the Jews. And then Herod and the Roman guard, I forget his name. Going back and forth between those two, getting tortured. then take it to the cross, Calgary, and crucify him, and hang in there for 3 hours. We read about when he says that when he was on the cross, Father, he screamed out, Father, why have you forsaken me? But how long had the man gone without no sleep? How long had he gone without no rest? Getting beaten down, whipped. That crown of thorns nailed to his head. And to carry the cross beam of the cross or the cross all the way to the crucifixion. They're getting nailed to that damn thing. What break did he get? What timeout could he take? What hold up? Hold up. Wait a minute. Hold up, y'all. This shit's getting real. Hold up. Wait a minute. It was real the whole time. That's why he first rejected what? The vinegar and wine. He didn't want to get intoxicated and let that influence get to the point where he would just give in to his emotions, where he could blame it on the alcohol. Where you at, son? That's right. I'll pick up from the scripture. Now, we're at time. We better get up out of here. Let's go to Luke. Chapter 11. Let's start verse 20.
Luke chapter 11, verse 15. Was some of them said he cast out devils through Beelzebub, but Beelzebub, the chief of the devil.
And we know Beelzebub is the Lord of the Flies, which is Lord of Dookie, right? He said that the power that Christ had to cast out devils, he was using Satan. He was using the king of the flies, the king of doodoo, in order to cast out these devils. All right, reading on.
And others tempting him sought him a sign from heaven.
Right. Just do a miracle. Do this, do that. Prove that you're really the Son of God. All the healing you've done, already done, everything you've done ain't enough. If you're really the Son of God, then give me $1 million. If you're really the Son of God, then do this, then really do that, then take care of this. Give us a sign from heaven. Read on verse 17.
But he, knowing their thoughts, said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And the house divided against the house
falls. Right. So he's saying, look. Well, keep reading.
Verse 8. If Satan also be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because he said that I cast out devils through Beelzebub.
If Beelzebub is a devil, and now he's casting out devils, wouldn't that mean that there's a split among the devils? So how are they going to stand?
So y'all saying the power I have to heal people is and get demons off of people. I'm getting that from a demon? That don't make no sense.
Reading on.
Verse 19. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out?
Cool. So you're saying that the devil gives you my power to cast out devils. Well, then who the hell, when your sons do it, how the hell are they doing it? And by who are they doing it by? There's no way in hell are they doing it by the Most High. Read.
Therefore shall they be your judges. Verse 20. But if I, with the fingers of the Most High, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of the Most High is come.
No doubt the kingdom's come upon you. No doubt. Now you should be shown the right way of how to please the Most High. Read.
Verse 21. When a strong man armed keeps his place, his goods are in peace.
When a strong man is armed and he's watching his place, his palace, his goods are in place. Can't nobody rob him because he's watching. Now he's armed and watching. Verse 22.
But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor wherewith he trusted, and divideth his spoil.
Right, and the only way you're gonna be able to steal from this or take this the strong man's goods, you gotta bind him up. You have to bind him up. If not, he's watching. So he's going to fend off the attack. But now Christ has given us his understanding, so we might understand how unclean spirits work. Go ahead.
Verse 43. He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me is scattered.
If you're not helping me in gathering Israel, then you're scattering Israel. If you're not actually with me, you're scattering. This is what Yahushua said. Christ said. Go ahead, verse 24.
When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and finding none. He saying, I will return to my house, but I came out.
So this unclean spirit has left. You have overcome a lot of things. You overcome a lot of uncleanness that was about you. But what happens with that unclean spirit that you did overcome at one time is going to do what? It comes back. Just like I said, Satan, the tempter, left for a season in dealing with Yahweh Shai. Just because you overcame it once doesn't mean that it's gone forever. Doesn't mean that you don't have to be as diligent. Doesn't mean you have to be as energetic to watch out for these things. Read.
Verse 25. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished.
Yeah, you've been cleaned up. You got the scriptures and you got clean. You started learning right from wrong. Yes. Read.
Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first.
Right. That, and reason it says it's worse now than it was when he first came in, because at the time of ignorance, Most I winked at, meaning this. Whatever pressure escapes, we used to deal with pressure in the world, smoking, drinking, porn, whatever your vice was. Because no one taught you scriptures, what's that say he winked at? But now, you know better. But because of pressure, because of the fire, you get weak. Because of envy, because you think you're a victim and you're the only one going through what you're going through. It's not okay to return back to that vice. It's not okay to return back to that vomit. Read.
Verse 27, and again, the last verse. Verse 26, Luke chapter 11, verse 26. Luke chapter 11, verse 26. Then the Lord, he takes it to him. Seven of the spirits won't work it than himself. And they enter in and dwell there in the last state of that man in the flesh. In the first.
Talking about your mental state. And now you get to the point where you're justified. Why that's okay for you?
When you know better. Now your mental state is going to be even worse because now you're going to start keep and justifying more and more why that behavior is okay. All right, but since I'm going to thank everyone for tuning in, for those who did tune in, and hopefully y'all was able to hear the broadcast. I will continue this tomorrow morning. It'll be 9 o'clock Albuquerque time, 10 o'clock Texas time, and going further east, adjust accordingly. Okay. So with that, I know it's getting late and everything. We got a lot of things we still got to do here right now, here in San Antonio, also with my family. I want to say the water to the brothers and sisters. Remember, if you have any ties or priest fund that you'd like to help keep the school going in Albuquerque, please don't forget to hit up the Google Pay. All right, don't forget to hit up the Google Pay and get that in, or come by the school and see either Brother Ahmad or the Brother Icewriters are. We take care of that. So we continue to grow and keep the school going. All right, so with that, I'm going to say shalom, and we'll continue this class tomorrow morning. Shalom.